What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Drew Nixon with you. Drew back in the studio producing the show. We are out on location today. We are at Heartland Men's Health, a leading provider of men's sexual health treatments throughout the greater Kansas City area. We are at the beautiful location up in North KC. Their clinic up here right in the center of the Villages at Briarcliff. Very easy access if you're familiar with this area. Very easy access from the north as well as downtown. We've been up here before. We've been over at their Independence location as well. They're just as helpful and just as discreet with everything as well. For those that are wondering, I got to sit in the waiting room or anything like that. No, you're going to show up for your appointment and they're going to take you back right away. So you're not worried about sitting around in a waiting room, that awkward wait sometimes that you might have. You don't have to deal with that at all. They are experts at all three locations here in Briarcliff, Independence, Overland Park, when it comes to men's restorative health, providing five-star patient experiences every single day. We'll continue to tell you about them throughout the show today, but don't wait. Take that first step towards reclaiming your health, confidence, and sex life. You can call today at 844-447-6600 or visit heartlandmenshealth.com to schedule that appointment. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, Josh Furner going to join us at 12:30, our Royals insider. And as Destiny mentioned at the end of his show, we're off at 1:30 today. Kind of a weird time just with them playing their final game out west, at least against the San Francisco Giants, trying to get a series win after last night did not go the way you would want. Another really close game where the offense did not back up the pitching, and a 3-2 loss. We'll get into the Royals a little bit here in just a bit.
Look, Lorenzen got in a little bit of trouble, and they gave up that run when Vinny had committed the error kind of later in the game, but they gave up three runs. It's always kind of the same thing. They either win every game 2-1, 3-2, or lose every game 3-2, 2-1. There is no 8-7 victory in the books. There is no 10-4 loss in the books. It seems like it just kind of covers every game feels the same. Every game feels the same.
It does, man. It does. It really does.
We'll talk about a couple of the things that I would probably be looking at if I were the Royals right now offensively, especially as some of the issues continue. But the big story today, obviously, is the NFL doing all the rule change stuff. And if you miss some of it, the easy things or the early parts are they changed the onside kick to try to make it slightly more viable, Gold, for them to actually get an onside kick by, I don't know, moving them up a yard. Wasn't anything of any kind of significance, just moving them up a yard in the hope that maybe that would increase the numbers. And then you and I know the two big things today that we're going to get discussed. The playoff reseeding that the Lions had put forth on the NFL and the tush push. Let's start with the reseeding, Gold, because as of this morning, the Lions bowed out.
Good.
And you and I both know that when a team pulls that means they didn't have the votes. So the Lions didn't have the votes. They decided to back off of the playoff reseeding. And I told you, it's not the worst idea, but that is not a good structure. So if you're just throwing it out there and just being like, then you're just getting rid of divisions and everything else. Like, I didn't. You and I both yesterday made it pretty clear we didn't want it. So I'm fine with the Lions pulling it.
No, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that playoff reseeding is not happening. I'll be honest. You and I differ a little bit on it. I know you had an alternate plan. Like, I think the idea of needing to redo the seeding format for the NFL postseason is a terrible idea. Didn't need to mess with it. I know it doesn't mean that they are not going to ever do it. This, as you said, means they didn't have the votes right now. They might try to work it out. But this idea that you were going to take division champions and say, hey, no longer are you guaranteed a home game. You better have a better record than the 6-seed wild card team, whatever. I just did not like that fundamentally. It sounds like, obviously, a lot of owners were still leery of that as well, at least the plan that was presented. So we'll see if it becomes a thing again. Remember, Roger Goodell reportedly wanted it. So I don't think this is, like, dead forever. Maybe they come back next year with some revision. I also think it depends on how does the postseason go this upcoming football season. I believe the proposal that was out there yesterday that they were discussing and ultimately tabled today,
yeah,
was a direct result, obviously, of what happened in the NFC North this past year. I know the Lions were the team that submitted it, but it was the Vikings that kind of got screwed by being a 14-win
team. But
the
Lions were worried about being
screwed.
But
they were. Yeah. And so that's why it was being presented. And it sounds like, again, it was more on behalf of Roger Goodell. The Lions just kind of took the, you know, fell on the sword, if you will, and were that team that presented it. I think that was an overreaction because of 1 year. So let's see what happens this year. If we have another season where a 14-win team is the wild card, then the noise is going to get louder, and then, okay, maybe this is going to start happening more and more, and we do need to look at it. But I'm hoping, like it has been historically, it was a one-off. This year, how many division winners are going to have fewer wins than wild card teams in their respective conference? So I'm hoping that doesn't happen again, and we can move on from it. But I am very happy when I saw this morning that the Lions ditched the reseeding proposal. What is clearly the focus, though, right this second in the league, there's a meeting going on right now. Dan Orsini's been kind of like doing play-by-play of it, basically. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, has brought in Jason Kelce
to explain
to other owners why the tush push should not be banned. And I, even though I have told you I don't think it is a aesthetically pleasing play, I think it's boring and all of that, I do think some people have tried to put out false info to make it seem like it's a worse play than what it is in terms of like the injury data we don't know yet. However,
no, the NFL's openly
admitted that. You can't go on the other side, and there's reports that Jeffrey Lurie today is telling people in this meeting, owners, that it's one of the safest plays in football.
That
seems a bit much to me.
Also, we don't know that. We don't have the injury data. For the same reason they can't call it dangerous, Jeff, they can't. You can't also just call it the safest play in history. That's rich, by the way. And, of course, trust the source right on that end. But the fact that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the team, said, this is the safest play in history, and they brought in Jason Kelce to dispel the myth that is the tush push, tells you that they can sense it's going to die gold.
Well, so, I think they're worried. I think they're worried.
I think it's pretty clear, and Diana Rossini and some others are reporting, that the expectation is that the tush push is going to go away, and they're freaked out about it. I do think that that tells you one thing. It tells you how much the Eagles value that play. And what makes that kind of shocking to me is, how have there not been more NFL teams who have tried to perfect it the way the Eagles do? Like, just straight up, if the Eagles value it to this point, that they'll do anything, man, they're sort of bringing, like, Rocky up to the stage to try to convince people not to get rid of the tush push in Philly pride, and they're trying to do anything they can to try to save this thing, and no other NFL team committed to it the way they did. I understand they got statistically a better chance because of Jalen Hurts and the offensive line, but nobody ever tried to do it the way I felt like when the Wildcat took over the NFL gold and every single team seemed to have like that moment in the league. It didn't seem like everyone adjusted to it the way the Eagles did.
Yeah, no, I mean, to their credit, they took advantage of something that has existed. Remember, though, this idea of the tush push being banned, or even future down the road, or you know, down the field, I should say, Trey Smith or other linemen, you know, pushing down the field as well, that's going to be included in this ban. And expectation is it's going to get banned today, and barring some complete shift in votes in the next, you know, 4 hours or so. I think it's for those that are upset, they're now going to ban it. This was something nobody cared about on both sides. Like, you can say that nobody cared about it not being banned until the Eagles were good at it, but then you also have to acknowledge, if you're going to say that, because that's an argument people have used, that it's just to attack the Eagles. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it wasn't allowed as well, and nobody was saying, oh my gosh, how are they not allowing it? It's only because on both sides of it, right? People don't like it because one team's doing it, but also people are acting like it's only against it's a new rule. It's been a rule before. Jalen Hurts has probably got the strongest lower body in football from a quarterback perspective. Their running back, Saquon, has tree trunks for legs. He's as strong as any running back in football. That's why it works there. Everybody thought it was Jason Kelce was the key for it. Well, they just did it with Cam Jurgens, I believe, is their center. They just did it with him. So it is a scheme. It is also the right quarterback-running back combination that works. Yesterday, the stat we gave out, 33 of 55 or something like that. I'm off by maybe a touchdown or two. Of Jalen Hurts' rushing touchdowns were from the tush push. So, of course, I mean, Saquon's, if we were in Philadelphia, I'm not saying, like, I think if we're being honest with ourselves, if we were in Philadelphia, we would be upset that this is going to get banned as well. It is a vital play to how they operate. Does it mean they're going to stink now? Of course not. But they will have to maneuver differently than how they have. You know, right now, prior to the ban, if it happens, you know, it's a 3rd and 2, Cody. We know that they got two shots either at the tush push or they can take one shot down the field. It's not 100%, but it's pretty darn close.
About as close as an NFL play can get.
I think, but, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there on both ends of this, but acting like it's the safest play is hilarious. People in the text line have said, I think the kneel down might be the safest play,
yeah.
Or the spike.
The spike. Now, you're still going to move
a
little bit
on the spike. You do have to move on the spike. That's true.
On the kneel down, everyone just kind of stands up, so that might actually be the safest play. I don't feel like Jeffrey Lurie's got stats to back up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the safest actual football play. Also, like, based on any success they've had at any point, the end around might be the safest play at this point because you just get tackled after about a yard or so. No, I think what comes to in point of this is, like, if you're on the it's a safety issue, you're just lying to yourself. You're just lying to yourself. You could say you think it could be or might be a safety issue, Gold, but you certainly can't make the argument that it is as of right now. We do not in any way have data to support the fact that that is the case. If you just don't like it because it's ugly, that's fine. People change rules for that.
It's definitely a boring play, and it just you know what's about to happen on a given play, and it's just a big rugby scrum. That is very boring, and that's not the reason to ban it. That's why I definitely won't be hurt if they ban it whatsoever.
Why can't that be a reason though? Like, we talk about aesthetics of a sport all the time. Like, we get rid of things because they don't make the game pretty. We try to increase things outside of this. I would just say the thing that stands out is this is a rare rule that impacts the offense negatively. Typically, that goes the other way, and they typically try to help that side. But I'll just say, any rule change always feels like it's either targeting somebody or specifically helping someone. And so,
always. It always takes, like, somebody doing something or something bad happening. This, by the way, is a take it away from sports, Cody. This is just how life works. You know, there's a lot of things that weren't laws or whatever until it became a problem. This is just how stuff works.
Dude, I don't know. I don't want to play. We'd have to go find it. It'd be way too much digging. There's this old clip from the 70s or 80s.
Okay.
It's like a TV news clip. And they're interviewing these people in, like, Wisconsin, and they're talking about how they are no longer allowed to drink open containers of alcohol while driving. And these people are like, oh, can't relax after a day of work anymore. Just can't live in America these days. And they're talking about they are mad that they're right to just, like, slam beers on their car ride home while driving is impacting their day. So, like, no matter the time in history, people always do feel that way. The Chiefs have been targeted on a couple of rules. The overtime rule, which the Chiefs were for, by the way, before, came right after the Buffalo Bills didn't get a chance to possess the ball in OT. Those things happen. Rules change. Like, all of that kind of goes in there. Drew, do you really think you have that news report?
So it says 1980 news report.
I think we got the idea. I mean, if you want to play a little bit.
I'm just curious. I think we got
the gist of it, but if you have a short clip.
I've got 20 seconds.
Any attempt to restrict drinking and driving here is viewed by some as downright undemocratic.
It's kind of getting common. It's when a fella can't put in a hard day's work, put in 11, 12 hours a day, and then get in your truck and at least drink one or two beers.
They're making it.
Jeez.
Let's go.
Oh,
dude,
my. And that's from 1970 something?
1980. Every person in that clip is like that. Like,
oh, my.
Yeah, getting to this point in this world, can't have a couple of beers on the way home. You're like, dude. He's just talking about openly drinking and driving.
Uh-huh.
You're restricting my rights. You're like, all right, man.
Yeah. Right. So we'll see how this plays out today. The tush push ban is expected to happen. The latest update from Diana Rossini is that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, just finally sat down after a speech that lasted over a half an hour. Now he is giving way to Jason Kelce, who's going to talk about the safety of the play and why it's not a unsafe play. So
they got like a PowerPoint presentation.
Basically, yeah, it sounds like it. They are very worried about this play going away. It's been a huge part of their offense. It doesn't mean that the Eagles are going to stink if they ban it, but it's something clearly Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and that offense has a massive weapon. And I don't blame them for not wanting it to be banned. Of course, I mean if we were in the same spot in Kansas City, we'd be saying, why are you banning it? But from the outside, like a lot of things, I totally understand why they might want to ban it. And I do think someone said the extra point is even worse than the tush push. I'd argue now extra points are getting missed more often these days. So actually, I would say the extra point is not as boring of a play even as this. The tush push, literally, you can't even see where the damn ball is on the tush push. Like, honestly. You can't even see. We have to wait 30 seconds for them to undo the pile to find out if Jalen Hurts is had the football across the line of scrimmage or not.
And I kind of agree with the text line on this. I do think that one of the issues, and I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, is it's a competitive balance issue. I am not allowed to push Chris Jones, right? Gold, you can't be some defender behind him shoving Chris Jones back in order to reverse it. So you have a massive offensive competitive advantage over
him. We've talked about this though.
You're
Ross
all
Tucker.
Allowed to push me and I'm not allowed to do it the other way. It's kind of weird.
So I've heard that a lot. And then remember, we've brought this up. Ross Tucker pushed back on what you just said. And he claims that you can do what you're saying. I don't know. He played in the league, so I'll lean on him. But because I've heard that argument, Cody, a lot, that the defense can't push the lineman. Shouldn't it be good for the offense and not the defense? Ross Tucker said that you can do that, so I don't know.
I just generally don't think in the NFL you should be pushing or pulling other players. You should be responsible for your own momentum. Like, I don't think I should be able to stand on the other side of the line and be like holding both your arms, Alex, and dragging you across either. I think you should just be responsible for your own, like, you should be responsible for your own momentum. And I, you know, like, if it's not going to be that, then it doesn't really make sense to me that, you know, like, one side or the other, just move your own, you know, like, use your own momentum. But this thing's going to get banned. Like, I mean, at this point, there's just no way to think it's not going to.
So we'll find out and we'll keep an eye on everything when it comes to rule changes today. And also we'll discuss the onside kick, which did have a tweak that was approved by owners. So it's kind of a busy day in the NFL when it comes to some of the rule stuff that could have an impact moving forward. But we all know, as we discussed yesterday, the offensive line will continue to be a huge story heading into the start of the season. And yesterday, Joe Tooney got that extension. And we kind of went back and forth about what you would have been okay with contract-wise for Tooney versus maybe giving Trey Smith a long-term deal. And then there were some numbers that the 33rd team put out. It just puts in a perspective of the offensive line issue of last year and how targeted it really was, as in left tackle. And you're like, well, duh. But here's the numbers. Every offensive lineman that played 1,000 snaps and allowed one or none sacks. So one or no sacks in 2024. And there's a list of, 10 linemen? The Chiefs have three of them. Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, and Joe Tooney. Obviously, Tooney's not around anymore. But other names, Chris Lindstrom, Sam Cosmi, Penei Sewell, Quinn Miners, Jake Brendel. There's a list of about 10 of them. Okay,
and the Chiefs have 30%.
So this idea, and two of them, and two of them are still on the roster. Your center and your right guard. So if we talk about the offensive line, like everybody, it was not an entire offensive line problem. But when you don't have a left tackle, we all saw what happened, and that's why the Chiefs went out and signed Jalen Moore. They went out and spent their first round draft pick on a potential left tackle of the future as well.
I saw some reporting that's saying he's going to have a good chance to compete for the starting role in camp, and I'm interested in that. We'll see. I think that that's too early to be saying that on May 21st when he can't even do the full breadth of the workout yet in order to do it. I looked at that stat, and I was like, my God. Like, how bad was left tackle play? Like, I don't want to go back through Gold and only watch the left tackle for 20 games last year, including the Super Bowl. But is there any way at this point to assume that this is strictly a left tackle problem, and otherwise they would have had one of the 5 to 7 best offensive lines in football? They had three guys who didn't even give up a sack. Now, Mahomes helps the numbers, admittedly. I think Mahomes does some sack prevention, admittedly. But still, I can't believe they got three guys on the list, and we still walked out of a year gold thinking the offensive line stunk.
Yeah, but my only thing would be, as much as the numbers would say, oh, it was a left tackle problem last year, and it was. This year, though, you have a question at left tackle still, and you have a new question at left guard. And that's going to be something that we also have to watch. As much as we're saying, is it Jalen Moore, Josh Simmons? Is it Caliendo? Is it Kingsley? You know you're not getting all pro play from Joe. You don't have Joe Tooney anymore. Okay,
You're probably not going to get zero sacks given up.
You don't need all pro play at left guard. That's okay if your left tackle play is elevated. But you are weaker heading into the season in general still on paper on the left side than you were potentially last year at guard, no doubt. Like, that's a given.
Yeah.
So, how much of an increase can you get at left tackle to where you can handle average or above average left guard play if I tell you you're getting average or above average left tackle play? And ultimately, you hope if it's Josh Simmons, you draft him in the first round, that he ends up providing you much better than just average left tackle play. You're hoping this guy could be a stud and one of the better top 10, 15 tackles in football, not maybe in his rookie season, because I'm still not convinced that he's going to play his rookie season. We'll see. I will gladly be wrong on that. I'm just very skeptical that he's actually starting week one for the Chiefs.
Yeah, no reason not to be worried about it. I mean, obviously, you and I for the same reasons. Like, until he can actually practice, like be on a football field, do all the stuff, I'm not going to get my hopes up. I told you that if he's healthy in the way that they're saying he's healthy and he's ready to compete day one of training camp, then he should have an equal shot at winning the job over Jalen Moore from day one, because he should be on paper, hypothetically, the better of the options. Moore's a career backup. You just spent a first-round pick on this guy. Everyone's trying to tell me, including the Chiefs, that he would have been a top 15 pick if it hadn't been for the injury that set him back in that regard. So everything kind of just in between and that kind of making a difference. So yeah, I don't overly worry. I guess I don't overly worry about that competition, Gold, until we get a little bit closer to it.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we get a little Jack Watch update. Jack Caglione made his AAA debut yesterday. He's hitting 250, all right? He's hitting 250 now.
One for four.
That's right, that's right. So we'll talk about him and what his success so far in the minors tells us about maybe hitting development within the Royals organization. Thinking of the Royals, though, last night, as we said, they fell to the Giants in Game 2 of this quick three-game series. They're going to play this afternoon. That's why we're off the air at 1:30 and handing things off to Vern then for his on-deck show as the Royals take on the Giants. And look, the offense and close games and the pitching, it really is, as you joked about to start the show, it really is kind of the same thing every single night with this baseball team at this point in time. They also gave up a free out or two on the base pass, although at least this one was an aggressive steal attempt from Mikel. It wasn't just, to me, bad base running, but still, you're giving up too many outs still on the base paths. And then there was a moment last night, I know it's happened a couple times, Salvador Perez, I think it was his second time up, maybe.
When he was up 2-0? Or which
it was 1-1 count.
Okay. There was a different at-bat that annoyed me.
1-1 count, 90 mile per hour, just up in the zone a little bit, but middle of the zone up, and just completely whiffed. I'm like, if he's not connecting on those at this point, that's a sign that I think, you know, it's one thing if he's chasing. He's always chased. That's been part of his game.
Yeah, that is what it is.
When you're starting to not see the ball well in the zone, that's where I start to get a little more concerned about old Father Time.
You know what it was? As I was watching the game last night, and I hadn't realized the exact date, but I was watching the game last night, and I was like, you know what the Royals need, Gold? They just need, you know, a multi-run home run. And I was just like, they got the least amount of baseball. I don't know if you know this. They've got like six or seven of those this year. The next lowest team has more than double than that. So like, just a multi-run home run. And I saw Salvador Perez come up to the dish a couple of times, you know, no big deal, a couple of runs, you're like, yeah, why don't you just slug one out of the park? And then I was like, when is the last time Salvador Perez hit a home run? And then when I go to look it up, I find out it's April 13th, Gold. It's been 5 weeks since Salvador Perez hit a home run. 5 weeks? That's bleak, man. That does concern me. He's always had some amount of power. The swing and miss stuff. So there was an at-bat last night that frustrates you for the normal reasons. He was up 2-0, and then he swung at three straight pitches outside the zone. Okay, well, I don't know, man. Gold, same as you. That's kind of Salvador Perez. I'll take the good with the bad. Sometimes he swings at some pitches outside the zone. It is what it is. But he also usually, occasionally, hits a ball that's a foot outside the zone over the fence every once in a while, or does those kinds of things. And a lot of the way I'm starting to look at the lineup, and I don't know that they're at these decision points yet, but like Drew Waters, they were better offensively, Gold, when Drew Waters came up instead of what they were doing offensively before, when they sat down MJ Melendez and brought him up. So at what point are anybody hitting in AAA a better option than the guy who's hitting the big league level? Because at some point, you got to make modicum differences in your offense. Because one more run a game, Gold, could very well end up leading to wins. That's all the Royals need right now. They're losing 3-2 when they lose. One more run the game might be the difference between winning or losing for this team. So, I don't know. Runners in scoring position, Salvi not hitting a homer, multi-run home runs. It does feel like Groundhog Day. Every Royals game feels the same.
Yeah, and so today they're going to play this afternoon, as we said, in San Francisco at Oracle Park. And we were wondering just how they were going to approach to today's game, knowing with the pitching issues, in terms of injuries, I should say. Pitching's been great, but just in terms of injuries and availability with a couple starters on the IL, and how quickly would they be willing to go back to Noah Cameron, or would there be some other options that they would potentially pursue? We now know the answer to that, by the way. It's going to be Daniel Lynch. Daniel Lynch will be starting today for
like
the Royals.
Three or four
so, yeah, I mean, just, I mean, based on him being a bullpen guy for a while now at this point, you're probably not getting five innings out of him.
No.
You're probably going to ask him to pitch
60
three.
60 pitches?
Yeah, get you three.
50 pitches.
If he's really efficient, he could pitch into the fourth maybe, but you're probably saying, get us three innings, and then we'll hand it over to the rest of the bullpen. It'll be a bullpen game. But this makes sense. You don't have to worry about calling somebody else up just for one start, especially after hearing that Reagans and Lugo hopefully are only going to be out for their given IL stints, not extended
past
that.
Got to do this one more time.
So you do it one more time, and then this way you're not risking any injury with Noah Cameron by having him come back quicker. You have him on normal rest. He'll pitch Thursday, whatever it would be.
Yeah.
They're not off tomorrow, are they? I think
they are off tomorrow.
They are off. Then they play Minnesota. So then you get him on normal rest, and that way you're not pushing the issue there. So Daniel Lynch at 2:45 first pitch this afternoon as we continue broadcasting from Heartland Men's Health. We're up at the Briarcliff location right up here in North Kansas City. Beautiful spot, especially if you're in one of the exam rooms as well. Just overlooks. You can kind of see downtown. And this is the place to go if you've been thinking about, something's not right. Something's not right. I know, whether it's in the bedroom, whether it's just with energy level, maybe it's a combination of low T and ED. There's a connection between the two there. The link between low T and ED, low testosterone levels can often contribute to ED, but they're also frequently a sign of the other, and that's where Heartland Men's Health comes in. They will do your lab work and have your results within 30 minutes. A licensed medical provider will review results with you and discuss your options, and you will make this decision together with their medical team. All it is $99, which includes medical consult, testosterone, and a PSA level as well. All you got to do to make an appointment, 844-447-6600. That's 844-447-6600, or visit heartlandmenshealth.com. Up next, I want to talk a little bit about Jack Caglione, though, what he did last night. And one thing Cody is very upset about when it comes to target share, I guess. He called it criminal, as a matter of fact. We'll get into that next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Drew back in studio producing the show. Today we are up at the beautiful clinic here in North KC for Heartland Men's Health, one of their three area locations. If you can't make it up to the center of the villages here at Briarcliff, easy access from the north. Don't forget, in Independence, it's conveniently located between Lee Summit and Blue Springs, right off of I-70 and I-470 plus out south in Overland Park as well. All three locations have expert staff that know men's restorative health and provide five-star patient experiences every day. You guys could even go online and check out the reviews for yourself and find out why they are the best in the greater Kansas City area as well. Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to a stat that Cody is calling criminal. All I saw is it's criminal. It has to do with one of the Chiefs wide receivers. We'll get there in a second. But last night, out in Salt Lake, Jack Caglione made his AAA debut. As you said, 1-for-4. Yeah. So he's in 250. What was weird about it the single he had was an infield for a guy that has all the power in the world. It was funny that was his first hit, and he had to run that one out, man. He had to run that one out to first base. I don't want to talk about that particular game or anything like that. We're obviously joking a little bit about it's one game in and he's 1-for-4. But bigger picture, if he progresses the way everybody thinks he's going to, and obviously the fast track that he is on right now, The same way we've been talking about pitching development, and maybe there's a sign and a shift there. Where are we at on hitting development in the organization? Because, look, he was a top 10 pick out of college. He's a 10th best prospect in baseball. There'll be some people that will say, well, you can't really screw this one up, right? There'll be some people that would say that. So is he the example, or does it have to be somebody else? If he comes up to the big leagues and is what everybody thinks he is, I mean, J.J. Piccolo yesterday, they think there's some similarities to Pete Alonso. Is he the example, or does it actually have to be somebody else truly to prove that hitting development is also something that's headed in the right direction?
So in the pitching development case, it was both the new guys you bring in and up through your system, but also your ability to take the guys who weren't doing it and develop them in some way. In a lot of ways, though, Jack is probably the first case, because here's the truth. Gold, by the time they changed what they were doing from a hitting development standpoint, they were already, in my opinion, making all those guys were in the big leagues. The whole team existed, Gold. The example, or the early example guy, or somebody who could be different than that, Gold, at least hypothetically, could be Drew Waters. If you're looking for another example of, hey, they're doing hitting development better than they used to do hitting development, Drew Waters would hypothetically be another example case of, we took a guy, we had to spend time with him developing him in the sense that he's not in a big league level while we work on his approach. And since he's been back up, man works, right? But if it's not him, then it probably is somebody like Jack, because it takes years to see the results of it. And the only problem with this is that if Jack jumps this quick, it's not going to feel like the Royals got their hands on him and he's just a freak of nature, right? If he just comes up, you're just going to be like, well, I don't know if the Royals did anything for Jack Caglione. Maybe he's just that good. I am, and they have been so good about not rushing in a lot of ways, and have said they don't want to rush. I don't know how the temptation would not seep into your head, based on the current offense, about, well, there's a solution. There's an option right there. We can't hit homers, right? We're like dead last in Major League Baseball, I think, in inning home runs right now. What if hypothetically there was a guy in the minor league system?
No, I get it.
It's a bunch.
I get it. No, I get it. I mean, I'm sure you've gotten the same responses on Twitter and obviously on our text line as well. You know, from people saying, you know, why is he not already up? You know, and I think if you listen to our conversation yesterday with JJ Piccolo, he being Jack Caglione, is on the quickest, best case scenario path to the big leagues that they would have ever imagined when they drafted him.
Yep.
So for those that are still saying, man, big league club is struggling offensively, he's got just what they need. I don't disagree.
They thought it would take way longer.
I don't disagree that eventually he's going to provide what they need. One, he's not alone going to fix the offense. There's a bunch of problems with it. Two, you just heard from the GM yesterday that said this is as quick and best case scenario track that you could be on. Like, I know we have this assumption just because he was a college player that, like, he should already be in the big leagues. This is a quick path that he's in Triple A.
It's hard because other guys have made the
bigs. I understand Nick Kurtz, people will.
Yep.
You know, people will bring up that.
I know, but, like, that's also, are we just pretending like workplaces don't work different, Gold? Like, for instance, like, are we just pretending like some workplaces are more willing to, like, fly guys through the system? And I'll point out, and this is not, like, way too small of a sample size, Nick Kurtz had played even less games, we'd pointed out. 13 games in fall league. He had played in A and double A last year for like 25 games, but the same amount as Jack. And then he played 24 games in triple A this year before, or 20 games before in triple A this year before he got moved up. In the majors, he has now had 90 at bats, 24 games. So more games in the majors than he had in triple A. He's hitting .222 with a .270 on base. 615 OPS. It's not like he's just murdering the baseball. Like, in retrospect, right, the A's, a team that's going nowhere. Would the 24 games in AAA have been better for him?
Well, I think what you just said about the A's.
Or the 24 games in the big leagues been better for him, you know?
I think what you just said, though, about where the A's as an organization are, that's the other part of it. This Royals team is on one hand, people will say, well, because they're gunning for a playoff spot and they're gunning for the division, that they should be more willing to bring somebody up quicker to help. I think it's the opposite, though. If this team was had zero expectation this year, and this team was already 10 games under 500 or something like that, Cody, then I think there would be more reason to say, ah, screw it. No pressure on the kid. He comes up, and you're just supposed to develop, and we're good with it. You don't call him up early because this team is expected to compete right now and be in the mix right now. And with that, anybody that gets called up has a huge amount of pressure. And that's why it's different. I think it's way, if this was the Rockies or the A's, and not even the A's as much this year, but I'll say like the Rockies, let's go with Pirates, any of the Orioles even, you know, these teams that are way under 500 right now, I think you would actually be more willing to call them up sooner.
Sure, get in major league at bats. Let them get adjusted to the level so that when you are a team that matters,
yeah,
Jack Caglione is good. But I also like...
Now, the A's are probably not the best example for it, though,
no,
because you're talking more about the Rockies, the White Sox, and even the Orioles. The Oakland A's, or
okay,
Vegas A's slash Sacramento A's,
whatever the hell
whatever they are,
like,
they've got some studs. They got Wilson. They've got Kurtz that is doing all right for them. And but as you said, it's not like Kurtz is hitting .280 in the big leagues or something.
.222.
Yeah, no
with
power.
A .270 on base with no power. And look, Jack Caglione has power. Jack, here's the biggest problem with this is why I would be tempted if I were the Royals. They're dead last in home runs, and they can't score runs. And the last time I checked in Baseball Gold, a really quick way to get a couple of runs fast is if one person hits a ball and it goes over the fence, because it's worth more than one, hypothetically, or it's worth at least one. You don't have to risk anybody making a base running error somewhere between first and third. You don't have to move the guy over. You don't have to get a double, whatever. You can make this thing work.
All right, we got some breaking news in the NFL. The NFL owners did not have enough votes to ban the Tush Push.
Tush Push
like.
Lives?
So let me get the exact clarification.
They went to a special meeting with just the owners.
Yeah,
at some
a
point.
Ban of the Tush Push play that the Eagles popularized did not receive enough votes at today's league meeting. The play remains alive. There will be more Tush Pushes this season.
Wow.
They will keep it for at least another year. Eagles fans get their wish.
Man, Lori had some juice in that room, didn't he? Because the last report I saw is that they went from the general debate, Gold, like where everybody's sitting around having the conversation, to an owners-only one. And Jeffrey Lurie must have flexed in that room a little bit and be like, listen.
The Eagles aren't social media
team. Do I have
team.
Power in this room or not?
the Eagles social media team already had a graphic ready. It said "Push On" with the Eagles logo, and it had a Packers on defense.
Oh my God! Wow, the Packers on defense.
Remember, the Packers are who proposed.
Dang. Okay. Taking a shot of
two minutes ago on the Eagles social media account. Push On with the Eagles logo, and it's a view from the defender's point of view, looking towards the Packers and the line of scrimmage.
Again, I don't understand.
So they didn't. That, by the way, that is a stunner.
Diana
Rossini earlier today said, despite the work from the Eagles, you know, that this thing wasn't going to pass, or this thing wasn't going to stay alive. Here's the details on teams. I don't know the specific teams. Rossini says 10 teams voted against the proposal to ban. That's why they didn't have enough.
Two votes short.
You needed 75% support.
24.
You need 75% of the support of NFL owners to pass. And so 10 teams. I would love to know the 10 that
Eagles won.
Obviously. Who else did they have alliance with?
Well?
Who else? The Bills, probably.
Bills, or,
but
yeah.
Wasn't Sean McDermott out here acting like he didn't think the play should be? But they were doing it as well.
Are we ever going to know the teams that didn't?
Oh, I imagine
it'll leak out. There's always somebody that'll leak it out. But this is a big stunner, though. I mean, everything was trending towards it. Much like the playoff reseeding, it doesn't mean it's dead forever. Like next summer, it can get brought back up. But clearly,
the overtime playoff rule got changed in a year after it failed.
There might have been some owners that were hesitant. They felt like it was targeting one particular team with a rule. And punishing one particular team.
Okay. The same thing applies to the Chiefs as I would say any team. And I know they won't do it with Mahomes, but just in general. Now you should be focusing on perfecting it. You should be dead, because it is an effective play. Nobody's ever argued that. This is your moment, if you were an NFL franchise, to move forward trying to be good at it. I don't understand the idea that you wouldn't try to be as good at it or close to as good at it as they are. It doesn't make sense to me that all these teams haven't pushed or tried to figure it out. At the same time, I guess I just kind of assumed it was going to fail, man.
If
I thought the touch push was going to die, Gold. Guess
if,
not.
If
We're
teams
stuck
do
it forever.
If teams go ahead and actually try to work on it, though, Cody, are you kind of succumbing to this play's just going to stick around and it's never going away? If you try to make it work, then I think the ultimate consensus could be, well, people are adopting the idea of it, so why would we vote it away?
I think the fact the Eagles just won the Super Bowl hurt its case of getting banned. What I mean, because then it seems like you're truly just punishing the team that just – if you're a year or two removed from a title, I think it's easier to ban this. I think this is some teams maybe had issue with it directly targeting a team. This is now another rule emphasis, though, that reportedly, and this is from Jordan Schultz, that Roger Goodell wanted. Roger Goodell reportedly wanted to ban this. Yeah, he was a strong proponent of banning it. And usually when he does that, it happens. He was a proponent of
the
playoff.
They're going to give him a contract.
He was the proponent of the reseeding. That got tabled. This one got tabled as well. They didn't have the votes to ban it, basically. It essentially got, it did not make it through. So I'm just surprised that ended up happening. So 10 teams did not vote in favor of the tush push. That's why the tush push lives on for another year. Binks already texted me. He says he thinks the Chiefs maybe voted no because the Chiefs like having their offensive linemen down the field like Trey Smith pushing as well. So that's been Binks' big thing all week.
Don't know.
Maybe he's right on the Chiefs voting no on it. I just told you how I feel about the play. I think it's a boring-ass play. Not everybody's going to agree with me on that. I don't think they should ban it because of safety. I don't think we know it's a safety thing.
No.
But I think it is for a league that is all about entertainment dollars and ratings and doesn't care really what at times fans want because someone's going to write them a check. I think from a viewership standpoint, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-2, 4th-and-1, when the Eagles are on the field, you know you're about to have a boring-ass play that's a rugby play, and you can't even see where the ball carrier is anyway. It's a crappy play. So that's just where I'm at. The Eagles could be doing it. The Bills could be doing it, and they do, by the way.
We were talking about it before they beat them in the Super Bowl, so I think we have a little bit of clout to not think. And I look, I'll just be honest. It had nothing to do with the result in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Chiefs are getting their ass kicked in that game.
The tush push wasn't even in play at all. It didn't even matter.
No, they didn't need it.
Yeah.
They're just getting first downs on every second down play. It didn't matter. And it didn't change the calculus or the math or anything outside of that. So, yeah, I don't fear it, I guess, in that way or get overly concerned based on that way. But I am surprised. I think Jeffrey Lurie must have had some clout in that room because the second they just went down to the owner's gold, nobody else around, nobody other people clawing at
it. What did Jason Kelce say?
Like, nobody else making an argument. And instead, Lurie's sitting in the room with just the owners, him and the other 31 people who represent these teams. He's like, hey, you're picking on us for no reason. We're just better at it than you. What are you doing?
Someone says you should ban the fullback dive if you don't like boring plays. Well, we can play this game all day long. One, I would say, how many teams are running fullback dives?
And
how often do you see it?
It'd be the fade, you know? I got to ban anything.
Yeah. Also, I would argue the fullback dive is a more exciting play than the tush push as well, if we're going to be real specific. How many times was a fullback dive ran in 2024? I don't have the numbers in front of me. My guess is not very often.
Probably less than 25 times.
Less than the tush push. Across the league. Some teams don't have fullbacks on their roster. That's how I know.
Only like a third of the teams have fullbacks.
Well, yeah, because they're playing defensive linemen at fullback.
They pretty much banned it on purpose. Like, without even trying, they banned the fullback dive.
So if you're keeping track today, playoff reseeding not happening this year. Tush push ban not happening this year.
We got 1 yard closer on the onside kick.
One thing changed with the onside kick. Yeah, and specifically the onside kick for this upcoming season, they're trying to bring that play back, right? Because it's nearly impossible at this point in time. Not that it should be a high percentage, but they passed a rule that will allow teams to declare onside kicks at any point during a game. Remember before, you have to be trailing though,
yeah.
But you don't have to wait till the fourth quarter, and they'll kick from the 34 instead of the 35. That's the only rule change that passed today.
Okay. I mean, so nothing? The sport's the same. Got it. Other than maybe we have a 3% better chance of onside kick. My hope with this is like it's like the kickoff's gold. And that if they keep trying these onside kick things to make it matter and realize it's useless and meaningless, they'll eventually give us what we really want, which is the 4th and 15 or 4th and 20 option or one of the choices that actually make it slightly plausible to actually get the ball.
Yeah. Someone says from the 913, by the way, you guys can text in the show. We're on remote today, but we still have the text line available. 913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We always appreciate the interaction. Somebody says, banning anything for entertainment value is the worst slope to get on, the absolute worst. It can be a dangerous slope. I hear you. I hear the argument against it. I would say, though, that the league has done it before. You think that defensive holding or pass interference, or roughing the passer, or not roughing the that's banning something because they think it may prevent either it's safety or entertainment value related. I mean, it happens. They'll claim some stuff is safety, but sometimes it's entertainment. They made rules that benefited the offense for years, for 15, 20 years. So I would argue that they have banned things for entertainment value, as in more offense, more scoring. Acting like they have never done it in the league, that would be, I think, inaccurate. I understand there's a slippery slope, but they have made plenty of rule changes tougher on the defense for entertainment reasons, as in more points.
We'll see if any of the other teams come out. Adam Schefter already reporting. Here's some of the teams that sided with the Eagles. Ravens, Patriots, Jets, and Lions so far.
So far, okay.
So Lions, and they're, you know, like another NFC
Dan
team?
Campbell, old school football guy.
Campbell,
he likes him
old
some rugby.
School.
Yeah, that's what it is.
What are they thinking, Justin?
I know
Fields?
The owners He's... are the ones voting, not the coach. But you get my point.
Well, but I'm sure
they're voting on behalf of their coach. What's that, Drew?
If you think the Jets, you know, Justin Fields potentially tush push, you know, for
true.
For
I like it's the old school guys so far. Harbaugh, Vrabel, Campbell. Who's the Jets head coach?
Aaron Glenn
feels old school.
Oh man, nothing but old school guys so far.
Andy gave the very politically correct, like, you know, answer a couple months ago. I think when he was asked about the tush push, I'll have to see if I pull up the quote again. He was like trying to kind of play both sides of it. This was from March. Let me see if I can get the exact quote from Andy. This was like March 13th. Let's see here. Quote, yeah, I don't know how you can argue it either way. I felt like it's a successful play. If there's a problem with injury, possible injury, you've got to look at it. So I would listen probably to the medical people on it, see what they think about the body mechanics. You don't want to go through something like Buffalo went through. If it's a neck situation, it's going to be a risk. I think you have to listen to the whole story. That was Andy Reid on the tush-push ban at the time. He also said, quote, I would say if it's putting a player in a bad position, then you probably have to do something about it. But if it's not, it's a heck of a play. And
here's
I think
thing.
That's where a lot of teams side.
This is where it could eventually go away. If even one single report, when they eventually have all the data on this gold, if even one single report comes back and it says, this is a potentially dangerous play to the head and neck area of the quarterback, well, then it's done. It's done. The NFL will get everyone on board, and they'll ban the damn thing. But with no evidence to support it, you're just getting rid of it because you just don't like it, and you can't even go to your point. I think there's been things that they have changed that are for glamour reasons, right? Not for safety reasons. But the one difference is, Gold, is that you and I both know that they always hide behind safety reasons. They hide behind that as this like tool to change the rules the way that they want so it doesn't feel like it's fairness or safety. Those are really the only reasons why they tend to change the rules out loud. They don't just say, we don't like the way this play looks. They don't say it like that, even though you and I both know that they're doing it for those reasons. So until they get the data, they can't even hide behind the safety part. That's part of the problem, Gold, is that they got to pretend they need a little data in order to support it, at least to pretend like before they get rid of it. But we'll see, maybe in a couple of years. But it's not going to be this year. The tush push lives on, man. It lives on. They catch any more of those criminals out of New Orleans?
I haven't seen an update.
I think there was another one last night that got caught, I believe.
Another one last night?
I think so. I don't know how many that leaves us.
Five fugitives on the run still. Yeah.
Okay, so one more got caught.
Fifth inmate was recaptured. So Fifth inmate was recaptured following a breakout, of course, of the jail. 19-year-old was arrested Tuesday after the breakout has left. Where does it say he was caught? Do we know?
I saw somebody, I think, got caught on the laying on a bench on like a bus stop bench.
Dang! Just trying to take a nap. I mean, he's a escaped felon, but you know. Now I'm looking. I don't know. It doesn't say. Is that what you saw, Drew? You already knew someone who's got caught last night, so you must be right.
I think I saw it went down from 6 to 5. I think it was last night I saw it. It was yesterday that I saw it.
Yeah, five are still on the run.
6 day overall. All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to keep an eye out. All these guys slowly getting
caught. I still
caught.
Think by this time next week, there'll be
we'll
like
have them
all or one left. Yeah. Fifth one was caught at his grandma's house in New Orleans.
Okay. That was not the
I mean,
person.
You know that Jeez. They were going to look at your grandma's house. You can't go to anyone you know that well. That's the problem, though, is that your grandma might be the only person to let you in the door, right? Gold, you're not letting if a buddy of yours at the neighborhood bar you go to goes to jail, escapes. You're not letting him kick it at your crib.
Absolutely
no,
not.
No, because then you're
absolutely
like,
not.
You're an accomplice.
You know? Absolutely not. Yeah, you're going to prison, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You're not doing that. That's just not worth the
Someone
risk.
Someone says, another one got caught. Cody sounded so disappointed. You did sound like, oh, no.
I don't want anyone to get hurt. I just, you know.
Well, fortunately, there hasn't been a dangerous situation when they've arrested these folks. So far.
So far.
Five left. Long Memorial Day weekend coming up, you know?
Mr. Beast gives you like $500,000 if you're the last one standing somehow is what he's going to
offer. Don't think that's how this works.
No? You don't think so?
I don't think that's how this works.
That's essentially what his shtick is.
Up next.
Yeah, I know.
Up next, I want to get to, thinking of criminals, a stat Cody called criminal.
Mm-hmm.
We ran out of time. We had some breaking news happen during this segment. So we'll get to that. And is there a team just going to run away with the American League Central? We'll get back into that coming up next right here on Cody and Gold.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.